Hi there.
Hi, you darling. It's Billy calling back from MMA Legal. Are you in a position to speak right now?
I am now, yeah.
Perfect. Now, one thing which I am going to do for you, just to be on the safe side, is when we run through with this claim, you may get a call over the next few weeks from Redress directly, and they'll say, we can pay you £1,000 up front now. We can pay you up front, and it'll be a trick for you to accept. If they're going to offer you £1,000, but you do back £100,000, they'll try and get you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to password protect your account. If anyone calls you, you just ask them, what is my password? Now, can I ask you, should I use your daughter's name as a password?
Yes, that's fine. My name's Chelsea.
So we use Chelsea as a password for you.
Yeah.
So if anyone calls you, you say, what's my password? And if they don't know the password, even if it sounds like me, just say, what's my password? And if they don't say Chelsea, hang the phone up on them, darling. Okay.
I will do. That's great.
I understand that he was placed into care from being a young age. Can I ask you, what kind of age did he get to where he realised he was being mistreated, or what care homes was he in if he does recall them?
Well, the names of them, or, well, I mean, yeah, they were the names. He was in so many different. He was in, he was in care homes. He was also with foster families and, as he grew up and became a teenager, and, residential homes with other people, But he had a couple of foster families as well. Would you like the names of some of the residential homes?
Yeah, I'd like some of the names of the places where he felt mistreated, please.
Okay. The Rosedene, Rosedene, Rosedene home, and that's in Inverness.
Residential home. Let me get that down. So it's not the first time I've had somebody report Rosedene, and I just want to give him reassurance that the statements that I've already come forward will be helping his case hell of a lot. And most importantly, he will be helping other people as well, because there'll be a very...
Yeah, because the more people who... Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That. How old would he say he was, roughly, when he was in Rosedene, if he could guess?
Do you have a rough guess? You were in Rosedene, just roughly. 9, he's guessing.
So he's around at 1981, roughly. And if he had to guess, would he say he was in there for a few months or a year or so?
No, no, that's a few months he was in for.
If he doesn't know, don't worry.
He was in months, definitely months.
And then can I take the name of the second place where he felt like...
There was also a place called Dalney Children's Home, D-A-L. N-E-I-G-H.
Children's Home. Again, I've heard of Inverness again. And would he say he was again around about the age of 9 when he was placed in here?
Roughly in Dalney. How old was he? Roughly how long old? Yeah, he was a teenager by the time he went to Dalney.
So what I'll do is I'll put him in from, say, like 12 years of age, just to be on the safe side, so he's covering from a few years.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a place called Ferentosh after that.
Ferentosh as well. And I'm sure is that Ferentosh?
No, Ferintosh.
Ferentosh.
Mid-teenage school, Yeah, and that was like when his mid-teenage years, until he was about 17.
I'll put in there, I'll go from 1985, just so we can cover that year as well.
So in between these days and these residential homes, he was put into several foster families as well, for placement,
Was he ever mistreated off any of the foster families?
They have mistreated any of the foster families, so nothing significant.
If it's anything that he wants me to, I can get that notice down, because even though he was in
nothing significant. There was a bit of bullying from the children who the paternal parents, you know, a bit of bullying from the children's side, but nothing. Then,
Posh Dalney and also Rose Bean, where would like to
struggles with to this day.
So
I mean,
the way that it works is, I just need to take brief statements regarding each place where he was. So I'm just going to start off with Rose Bean at this moment in time, and I'm going to ask some questions just to help him, because he understands it was quite a while back to re-jog his memory. Mm-hmm. So can I ask him, when he arrived here at Rose Bean, did he have any reassurance that anything was going to be okay, or any empathy or anything?
No, nothing did, no.
And of course, I can imagine he was emotional and scared being taken away from his parents.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And confused, as no one explained.
Abandonment,
anything.
You know.
And can I ask you, when he got here, was he just basically in Rose Bean? Was he quite secluded in his room a lot of the times, or was it the case where he shared rooms with other people?
He shared a room with one boy, didn't you? It was a shared room. But it was very, very limited. It was just like a bed, and, you know, there wasn't much else.
Just the bed.
Said he still, like, you know, gets, like, triggers from, like, the smell of the place and stuff until to this day, you know.
Can I ask him, in Rose Dean, was he ever physical from the staff, whether that was pushing, prodding, or punching? Was he ever bullying you, whether picking at you?
There was a lot of physical abuse, yeah.
Can I ask you, in here, in Rose Dean, was there ever any sexual in here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that as well.
No, I know.
And was this off another child, or was this off a staff member?
Staff.
Does he remember the name at all? If not, he doesn't need to provide that. If he does, then it will be helpful.
And you don't have to, but do you recall any of the names of any staff members and those things? Was that all one that died? Remember? You said they're all dead now, but do you remember any of the names?
Don't worry.
And they can't right now. I know in the past he has. Cause
don't worry. That's fine.
Yeah, because he heard
that
guy passed away. Sorry?
Let me get myself. You will also have me on WhatsApp after this call. So if there's anything later on,
that would be helpful.
I'll pop over and we'll track your claim at any time with me. Do not worry, and I'll constantly update you.
It
was physically, mentally, actually frustrating. Mm-hmm.
Also witnessed it for this other, you know.
And I witnessed it as well. Let me get that down.
Yeah, when it's happening. Mm-hmm.
This affected me, my whole life, and you said earlier that he's been diagnosed with PTSD and anxiety. He's been on medication since he was 20 years old. And he struggles. Would you say that he struggles to build relationships and trust people and things like that?
He's had
best relationships. But of course, it's probably taken a while to get to that.
Yeah, he's been with myself and I've come up for 30 years. I'm the only person that he's ever opened up to and shared this with. So for many, many years, he hid it, you know.
It took many years.
Yeah, but, you know, we've got four children together now and three grandchildren, but it took about 15 years for him to open up and tell me. And then everything made sense to me about, you know, his behaviour and things and his condition, his behaviour, his insomnia. Then everything made sense after he opened up and told me. But then over the years, you know, it took quite a while for him to tell me everything because it's so extensive. There are so many different times, so many different names, you know, and experiences that were. It took him a few years to tell me everything and completely, you know.
I just got that on here for you. And can I ask you, of course, when he was in Rose Dean, he was in here as well, did he have any family visits or anything like that at all, darling?
He might have sent a visit once, didn't she, when he was there? His mother turned up once, but it was a very short
Rose Dean.
Yeah, and gave him, she remembers, because he was so young, she turned up, but she only stayed for about 10 minutes, and she gave him a pencil case and then left.
Sorry to hear that. We got that down here. Then we're going to move on here to Dan Lee Children's Home. Can I ask you, when he arrived here, I understand that, of course, he's going to be worrying, considering the previous places there where he's been.
It got worse. It's kind of, you know, it went up a level after, you know, when he went into Dalmy.
And can I ask him in here, was the staff physical again, darling, whether it hit him at all or even use any belts or whips or anything like that?
Pushing or punishment and down and down it and onto the dummy.
Yeah, that's pushing. He got pinned against the wall.
He said he got pinned against the wall and pushed against, you know, they're like pushed and grabbed sort of thing about the dummy.
And would they ever restrain him where they'd sit on him, for an example, and take his breath away or bend his arms and his legs off his back?
We ever restrained? Darnley. Yeah, very often. Frequently. There was bars on the window and things, you know. Well, that was Ferentosh, sorry, Ferentosh. They moved him out of Darnley and put him into Ferentosh, and that's when it got extreme.
Can I ask you, in Darnley, did he allow any of the other children to pick on him or anything like that?
No, just general bully, you know, nothing that's that.
Was food always provided to him, darling, or is it?
Yes, that's one thing he remembers about Darnley, is the food. The food was, you know, he couldn't believe the amount of food that's available, that it was so much so that he ate as much as he could, because that was something that he never had. He suffered hunger most of his life, you know. So that.
We got that on here. And could I ask you, did the sexual abuse continue in Dalny, darling? Do you know?
No, there was none of that in Dalny, no. But between, like, whilst in Dalny, he was placed back in the custody of his father and his father's girlfriend. And he suffered a lot of beatings then, you know. But that was while in dad's custody, so he got taken back into social care because of the beatings, you know. And he witnessed incest well in that environment as well.
So I'm assuming that in Dalny it was more like the physical side of things and more mental for him before having to deal with it.
No, serious physical beatings, like quite high level beating, you know.
Sorry, I'm typing absolutely everything that you are making me aware of. Thank you so much for providing me with this. I'm not ignoring you when I'm being silent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to make sure I don't miss anything, because every bit of detail you're providing will leave Stephanie's case hell of a lot. Did you ever feel like he was quite, for an example, did anybody ever ask him about his mental health or kind of act like interested or anything?
Never, ever, ever. So very, very emotionally confused growing up, you know.
Did they prevent his education and things like that in here as well?
He went to multiple different schools. His education was really disruptive because he was taken from one school to another. So, he struggled. He struggled with literacy and numeracy, you know, simple. But as he's become an adult, he's educated himself quite a lot, you know, and taught himself, you know, how to write well and his numeracy is better and things like that. That's something we've worked on over the years since he's been with myself.
And again, I'm just going to get down here of the impact that it's had on him again. because I will include that in every statement, because what we do in regards to these is we submit all of these off, but we do individual statements regarding each places. Now, when we get your files back as well, we'll go over the other files that he's not aware of, and it might re-jog memories of other places where he has been to make sure we're against that.
He's always telling me that he thinks, you know, sometimes you think he's starting to recall memories, you know, something might trigger something. It's like, think that something happened to me in that sort of setting, but he doesn't remember it in detail, so he's not 100% sure. So that's something that, you know, it's always bothered him, you know, the spaces in the memory, you know. So that would be helpful.
Put that on here as well. And of course, like you say, it's going to have a very big impact on his mental health with him being such a young boy as well. We don't realise the impact that it's going to have on his life.
His first experience with sexual assault, he was 5 years old and it was his uncle.
I'm so sorry that he's had to deal with this, and he's been failed from everybody.
I know, it's absolutely horrific, isn't it?
And it's nice to know that he has got somebody like you beside him, to know that he's got that reassurance, that somebody does genuinely care about
it's
him.
Taken, it's taken a long time, though. Yeah, you know, it's taken a long time,
it,
you know.
It really
for
is.
For him to have trust as well. Mm-hmm.
He really should be proud of himself here, and I'm not sure if he can hear this or not. He's not, but
I do tell him all the time that I'm so proud of him, you know.
Because a lot of people go down the wrong route, and again, you can't blame them for that because they know no better.
He did start to go that way, like, just before I met him when he was 24, and he says that he should have went that way, you know, he easily went that way, you know, and so it was lucky that, you know, we met each other.
And clear as day goes to show if you've got one person in your life that genuinely cares about your interests, you're going to go and you're going to exceed, and that's all these children needed.
And he's got a good relationship with my parents as well, and he's had that for, you know, 30 years as well.
So he's not missing out on anything there, and he's gained the love that he didn't actually have lost when he was younger. But even still, like I say, these children, if they would have had just somebody like you, just somebody genuinely cared about their health and
somebody
just given
them
the basics.
Absolutely.
And it's unfortunate, the situation that you'll hear with people who are facing now with the siblings and what the siblings have now done to themselves and things like that, and then they feel guilt for it because. And it's totally understandable that you will feel the type of way because you're all placed in these places watching each other be abused, but there's nothing you can do about it. Even the police
absolutely. Yep.
Now, can I just ask you, I'm just moving on to Ferintosh. I'm assuming earlier, is that the worst type place of his life where he was placed in Ferintosh?
Yeah, he was appointed a support worker, and he was a very, very abusive man.
And his social worker was abusive to him as well.
He was a support worker, a key worker he was called. His name is Duncan Soloway.
Would he hit him and things like that? Was he sexual abusive to him, darling?
The first time, there's a lot of manipulation as well. The first time we met him, he took Colin into the office and he took a pencil and he stabbed his own hand with a pencil. And he said, you know, Colin said, you know, I can tell everyone you've done that to me. You know, he was, that manipulation. And there was physical and extreme sexual.
And was that from Duncan himself or was that from a different staff member?
It was from him and associates. At this point, he started rebelling, started trying to run away, you know. He's at that age where he thought, you know, if you try and get away from that environment, so he ran away from Ferintosh multiple times, you know.
And we're just brought straight back.
Yeah, the police would come and get him.
Again, you wouldn't even think that. Why is the child running away and they just take him back?
And then he would pay the price for it when he got back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
it's just different back then. It's unbelievable, you know.
Can I ask you, would they just use a fist and things, or did they ever use anything like a belt or a sand shoe or anything like that to be physical towards him at all?
No, mainly his fists, yeah. Oh. He was a very, very, very strong, physically strong man. Oh, he previously spent a lot of time in the army, so, you know, he's a very strong man.
Did they ever embarrass him by, for an example, dragging to the showers or watching whilst he was in the showers, or say they needed to help him shower or anything like that at all?
Can you say that again? Sorry.
Sorry. When it comes to shower times or bath times and things, did they ever punish him and put him in any cold baths or anything like that as a punishment, or say they needed to wash his body or watch him whilst he was showering?
Was there any punishment for cold showers or anything? I think it was mainly physical punishment and taking things off, you know, so taking things away. And then, like I said, the manipulation, he'd also reward him as well, you know, at times for when he would do as he was told.
And what would they reward him with, Alan?
The fear he had, still to this day, you know. When he thinks about him, the fear, you know. He would set things up and, you know, threaten him that if he said anything, you know, the blame would be put on Colin, you know, so he wasn't able to speak out, you know.
Did they have any, say, cupboards or make him stand in the hallways at night times as a punishment in the dark or in the cold or anything like that at all, darling?
No, just locked in the bedroom.
Let me get that in here. And
there was, like, things on the windows that was a lot, you know, so he wasn't able to open the window or anything. He couldn't get out, you know.
And if you needed the bathroom or anything while she was locked in the bedroom, did they make you
One moment, sorry. You have to, like, you were asking about the punishment, you know, like embarrassment. You said he was, like, made to wear pajamas and welly boots to go to school.
School was done up over
He said that the reason for that was if he was in his pyjamas and wellies, it would hopefully prevent him trying to run away, because the school was actually in the home, Fentosh home. There was a separate part, you know, there was another part of the building that was for school time. So, you know, so they would...
I don't think pyjamas are going to stop him running away then. That
no,
was
absolutely no.
Was over
yeah, like he said, he still ran away, you know. And still closed off the people's washing lines, you know, to hide in certain places. But the police...
When he was locked in his bedroom?
Yeah.
When he was locked in his bedroom, if he ever needed the toilet or anything like that, would he allow him to go, or did he have to do his business in the actual room or hold it in, or did he ever weed the bed?
Did you have a bathroom in the room?
No.
Were you ever, like, locked in the room so you weren't able to get to the toilet?
No, that's
not that. Did you have some bars or something? He said there was just like a night time, it was a night warden, so you would have to get him to open the door and, you know, allow him to go to the toilet.
And would food always be provided to him and things like that, darling?
Sorry, one moment, we're just stopping at the shop, but I'm not going in.
Do not worry.
I'm not going into shops, okay?
I have just a very bad with my mental health. Even still now, I'm just going to get the impact that it's got on you.
One moment, can you hold on a second?
Yep.
Oh yeah, but up in Rick. No, don't it?
No. I blame under the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Do with it.
I'm not saying.
The grace of my mum.
Yeah. Okay, so you know that.
Yeah, sorry. He was just saying don't doesn't know it's important or not to mention that when he did try and tell, he was introduced to his mum properly when he was like 9 year old, like, this is your mum. Like I said, he was very confused about who his mother was, because she was never there, you know. And he tried to open up to his mum when he was a teenager about his, no, I think the first sexual assault was his uncle, his 5 year old. And he was anally penetrated by him at 5 year old. He tried to open up and tell his mum. And because it was his mum's brother, he didn't want to say it was him, but he wanted his mum to know that what he'd experienced. So he made a liar and he blamed somebody else that it wasn't, and the man got arrested for it. And he just wanted me to tell you that just in case that's on his file, you know.
Things like that do help. You don't realise it, but it definitely does. And it's
he feels absolutely terrible for blaming an innocent man. But he just wanted people to know that he was frightened to say it because it was a family member.
And not only that, someone to keep an eye on me and find out what's going on and find out if it is this man or even if it's not, who is actually doing this to him and why is he coming out with this information? It's not going
to while he's in the shop, I'll tell you, the Duncan Solery man used to take him from the home in his own personal car and take him to an address. He doesn't know the exact address. He knows the area in Inverness where one of Duncan's friends were, and he would be sexually assaulted by the two of them at the same time. And he would do things like Ronnie came into his room in Ferentosh, and he had a catalogue with pictures of babies in it, and he said that he made Colin give him oral sex, and he said, if you don't do it, I'm going to say I found this under your pillow and your pubes, you know, you're into babies, like things like that. That's the sort of thing, like level of manipulation that Duncan Solery perpetrated on him.
So sorry.
Mm-hmm. And then because it continued up until like when he was 15, he started thinking that maybe he was homosexual, because by that point, and because of the control, you know, he done what he was told to do. You know, so he's always been very quite homophobic as an adult. You know, and there was another experience where he was visiting his mum, and his mum had her second husband, his name was Bruce, I can't remember his surname, and he put one of his fingers up Colin's backside, and Colin told his mum, and his mum didn't believe them, you know, things like that, you know. There were so many people, multiple people, between family members, you know, care home staff. There was one foster family he went to live with in Skye, and there was the first family that showed him love and care, and he thought he was going to get to stay there forever. But that Duncan Solery came up and took him away, talked the family out of keeping him long term, saying that he was, he would be a danger to their children, sort of thing, you know. Just so he could get back in his care, you know. So there was that one experience where he did, you know, get a proper family environment.
Thank you so much for providing me with that information.
It was taken away from them, which made it even worse, you know. What was
I can't believe that he's had to go through this.
Roland and Christine Park.
Then their names are Roland and Christine Park. They were foster parents. And they lived in school.
And it's just a shame to know that he was treated nicely off an actual family, and he could have stayed there where he actually felt trusted, and he obviously felt reassured as well, but they don't. Yeah.
You heard that Duncan Solery, in the same negative things about him to them, you know, to
make them change the kind of their impact that they had on him as well, to kind of change the views that they had on Colin, possibly they were doing that for.
Yes, absolutely. Saying that, they have daughters in the house, and you know, that wouldn't be safe for them, you know.
So
our daughter's just getting back in the car, but I'll, no, it's fine.
What I was just going to explain to you is I've definitely 100% provided me with enough information here anyway where I can go full steam ahead and submit this case off for you right away. Now, the way that the process is going to work is basically, in regards to this, I'm going to submit your case off.
Okay.
I'm going to submit your case off right away. And in regards to the actual case itself, it takes anything up to 14 days for redress to respond, where they'll respond to us with your application number. And as soon as we've got that, we'll go full steam ahead in regards to actually the files. Now, all that I need from yourself is a picture of Colin's ID and a picture of his proof of address. Now, ID can be anything from driver's license, passport. Perfect. And the proof of address could be any letter dated to him in the last 3 months. It just needs to have his name, address, and the date.
Yeah, I've got that. No problem.
Brilliant. Now, what I also need to make you aware of is that you can apply for this yourself without a legal team, and you can also instruct a solicitor who participates in government legal fee schemes where anything up to £2,000 is paid by the government. And most importantly, you can do this on an independent basis. Now, we work as no win, no fee. So if your case is unsuccessful for any reason, you will not be charged a single penny.
Yeah.
And at the very end, if the case is successful, the maximum fee the solicitors will take is 20%. So if you get the £100,000 back, he'll get 80 and the solicitors will take 20. Now, that will, that will reassure you that they will work in his best interest. They won't let anything slide.
No.
They'll do it in the fastest process they possibly can. So if you're happy with that, what I'm going to do, Dallin, going to send you a link over. Now, this will come through to you on a text message to your mobile number.
Okay.
All they need you to do for me is click on the link. It will take you straight to a box and ask for your signature. Well, Colin's signature, sorry. If you can put a squiggle in that box for me and then press the big blue button next to it that says execute document, that will come straight back through to me. 1 minute.
Okay, that's no problem.
While she's on the phone. Okay. 2 seconds to get this sent over while she's on the phone. Sure it's come through. Come here. For some reason. Have a bit of an issue. So just try that there now. We'll try and refresh it.
Like even like Colin's like benefits that he claims now and that, like I'm his legal appointee for that. To on phone calls, I do all letters because, you know, that's how much mental health is affected, you know. Hence why I'm, you know, talking on the call today.
Which is perfectly fine, and we'll be happy to be, if I am straight to the point with you, it'll only be me that you'll be dealing with without the whole process. Yeah. If it's not me, it'll be the solicitor directly that you're speaking with as well.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bob you a message over on WhatsApp, darling. That is for the ID and proof of address. Now, if you can get that over to me as soon as possible, as soon as I've got that, I'll give you a call straight back. And
I'll
get
be home in the next, like, maybe hour or so.
That's fine. And I will give you a call back in about 15 minutes. I just need to reset the system. For some reason, it's not allowing me to send your documents over to one of
them.
So I just need to speak with a solicitor, and I'll get that message over to you, darling. All right?
No problem at all. No problem at all.
Thank
you so
much.
Okay,
today.
Okay. No problem.
You message me over. Thank you.